Now we are coming to the second part of our story about the derivatives associated with functions of two variables. Again, I would like to assure you that you really have to give a little more concentration. Here we are going up a bit differently. Note that we have been writing a gradient directional derivative MVT, it is not MTV by the way, it is MVT means mean value theorem and other stuff. So, just have to be very attentive here. Gradient of a function of two variables at any given point x, y or x naught, y naught, does not matter, whatever you want to say, is written like this. And this is nothing but a vector consisting of now you might question me, okay, what about vectors? You have not spoken about vectors. It is too difficult to speak about everything in the same course, but I assume that you know what is a vector. So a vector in a two dimensional geometric framework is a object which has both the magnitude and a direction. So if you take a point in the two dimensional plane and join it with a straight line with the origin O, then these are the particular direction and of course it has a particular magnitude. If you change the point to some other point here for example, so it has another direction and it has a magnitude. So these quantities are called vectors, but it can be easily seen that this point is, this point which we had drawn first can be given a coordinate x 1 y 1 because this is in the x y plane and the second one is given x 2 y 2. So x 1 y 1 has a different magnitude and a direction, x 2 y 2 has a different magnitude and a direction. So I can, instead if I call this vector as v 1 and if I call this vector as v 2, it does not make any problem if I say v 1 is x 1 y 1, or you can write it just x 1 y 1 in this same row type fashion. This is I am writing it like this because this is one of the standard ways of writing it. You may not write it like that also, you may just, you can, it is just, you can write like this as in form of row, that is if you write like this. I think mathematicians preferred this, physicists preferred the way I am writing now. So it does not matter whatever you want to do. So you have here that I am essentially expressing a vector in terms of the its coordinate. So here basically the coordinates are a point whose x coordinate is x del f del x, y coordinate is del f del y, right. So this is a vector because these are real numbers, right. So if you put some x particular value of x and y, this will give me one real number, this will give me another real number. There is a notion of dot product of two vectors. So it is either denoted like this or denoted like this. This is called the dot product. And how do I compute? Because just if I say v 1 dot v 2 does not mean anything. It essentially means the product of the, it essentially means that the product of the magnitude, this absolute value of v 1 actually means the magnitude of v 1 into the magnitude of v 2 into cosine of the angle between them, theta, cos theta. This can be much more easily computed when you have represented in terms of coordinates. So in terms of coordinates, v 1 dot v 2 is written as x 1 into x 2, defined as y 1 into y 2, and this is exactly same as this. The interesting part is that all of you have learned that I can think of a unit vector I along this direction and I am thinking of a unit vector j along the y direction. Then any vector v 1, this is possibly known to, can be expressed in the following way: x1 into I vectors are usually given with a hat to show their speciality. Those who know some linear algebra will immediately understand that we are talking about the basis of a vector space. So I can't resist telling these terms because I'm a mathematician, but from a physicist's point of view, these are simple unit vectors, and you can express any vector as a scalar, as an addition of two inner, the two unit vectors scaled up by the amount given by the coordinates of the vector. So it is written as a y1 j vector. Now, once you do that, we can now think of something called a directional derivative. That is, finding the derivative of the function of two variables in a certain given direction. So a given direction would be another vector, say it is a u vector, and u1, it is given in terms of two coordinates u1 and u2, and I am asking what is the meaning of derivative, or what is the meaning of the directional derivative of the function f in the direction u. This is given as follows. In the direction u, in the direction u, it is given as the dot product of the gradient vector into the u vector. So it is u1 del f del x plus u2 del f del y, is as simple as that. Of course, there is a much more involved definition which many of you might not find very comfortable, but we will just provide it. It is in your book also. It says that, okay, if you are talking about the directional derivative of the function xy at the point xy in the direction u1 and u2, what you do is move from xy in the direction u1 and u2. So this simply means that if this is my xy point, this is my vector xy, and this is my u vector with u1 and u2 as coordinates, so I have to move from xy in a certain in the direction of u1 u2, that is in a direction parallel to the u1 u2 vector, direct parallel to the u1 u2's direction, and in that direction if I move, what is the derivative of this function. So it essentially means to find limit lambda going to 0 f of x plus lambda u1 y plus lambda u2 minus f of x y, that divided by lambda. Okay, there are a lot of issues here, I am just not going to go. This is the simple definition, and in this book also there is a say fxy is equal to x square plus xy. Right? Fxy is equal to x square plus xy, and they ask you, okay, guys, using this first principle, find the limit, and for the find the directional derivative in the direction u1 u2, or rather I would say they have given in the direction of a vector u, which is given as 1 by root 2 I vector plus 1 by root 2 j vector. So now you will immediately realize the following fact, that this is u hat is nothing but the vector in the Cartesian, once taken in the Cartesian coordinate, this is representing the coordinates 1 by root 2, 1 by root 2, and I am going to find the directional derivative. If you go by the first principles, the answer given in the book is 5 by root 2, but you will see that this is much more easier to find in the way I have shown you. So first I will find the gradient vector, which is del f del x del f del y, and that is given here as 2x plus y, right. And of course, 5 by root 2 answer cannot come unless you are looking at a certain point, which I missed, sorry. So, you are telling that you have to find it in the directional derivative in the direction u at the point x, y, which they have given as 1, 2. So, I will now compute it at x equal to 1, 2. So, what is del f del y here? Del f del y is just x. So, now I have to compute the grad f x y vector at the point 1, 2, and that will give me, I will put x equal to 1 and y equal to 2. So, that will give me 4, and this will give me 1, 4, 1. Now, my directional derivative is basically taking the dot product of f x y at 1, 2 with the vectors u, which is 1 by root 2, 1 by root 2. So, I would have 4, 1 dot 1 by root 2, 1 by root 2. So, this is nothing but 4 by root 2 plus 1 by root 2, that is 5 by root 2, which is same as the answer given in the book, which they have calculated by doing this limit. So, you see this is exactly the fact. Now, once directional derivatives have some uses, they are a lot hugely used in optimization, which is a subject where you talk about maximization and minimization of function, which we will not get into unless we come into the next thing. There are certain issues like, what do you mean by the, is there a mean value theorem for functions of two variables? That is a big question. So, we are going to now talk about the mean value theorem for functions of two variables, and once we do that, you will have a interesting idea about how things can be brought from the higher dimension to the lower dimension. So, there is something called a total derivative. What we have spoken is a partial derivative. So, what is called a total derivative? Yeah. So, or the total differential. So, you have already, I will just come, but let me just mention the the concept of full differentiability is slightly difficult at this stage to give you, which that is why I am not going to talk about the concept of full differentiability. But what I am going to talk about is that I can talk about what is called a differential of a function and how to use that idea to speak about the mean value theorem. Now, for me to do this, see, we have already spoken about this chain rule. The total differential of a function of two variables is actually defined as follows. Del f del x into the differential of x plus del f del y into the differential of y. See, this is nothing but an extension of the whole idea what you had in function of one variable. Function of one variable, if f was a function of one variable, then you essentially have to close this part. Then you do not, you can actually forget this part. But because you now have a function of two variables, you essentially have to bring in the y component. So, you have this part. So, this is total differential of a function of two variables. So, I will call this as the total differential. Now, this total differential has some meaning. The meaning is as follows. It can be usefully, you can use to approximate functions. So, this leads us to what is called a mean value theorem. Of course, I can use a function of one variable to handle all this, but instead of going into the details, for example, let me tell you one thing. For example, if you take a function f of t, function of one variable t, take a fixed x and fixed y, and a fixed h and a fixed k. So h and k, these are is a fixed vector which is giving you a direction, and x and y are a fixed point, reference point. So you are moving from that, so basically from x, y, you are moving in the direction of h and k, and h and k is here. So this is the origin and this is the whole stuff. The similar things like the directional derivative. So now if I take the derivative of this f dash t df dt, how will I do it? Df dt is nothing but taking the chain rule with what we have learned, because this now I have made these variables as a function of t. So we want to compute df dt, right? I just wrote del x dt when I was about to move ahead, but I thought that okay, let's just wait and ask how to compute this. So just for a second, observe the following, that consider here the function f, where x, y, h, k are the independent variable, t is for the moment a constant. Then I can write this z as f of xi eta, where xi is a function, say phi, of x, y, h, k, and that is given by x plus th, and eta is a function of functions say psi of x, y, h, k, given as y plus tk. Now t is a constant for the time being. Now if I go by the chain rule, now xi for the moment, if I fix up x and h, x, y, h, k I fix up, then xi and I start varying t, then xi becomes a function of t and eta becomes a function of t. Then by that rule, my df dt, what I have learnt earlier, should be del f del xi, because this is my xi and this is my eta. Del f del xi del eta, which is same as writing as del phi del eta, or d xi dt or d phi dt is the same thing, plus del f del eta d psi dt. So if you look at, so now what is now del f del xi at the point xi eta basically. So if you look at this, so it becomes del phi del xi del t is just h. So it is h into del f del xi plus k into del f del eta, right? Now once I have done this, I need to know how to calculate del f del xi in terms of del f del x, because xi is a function of x, h, y, k, right? Now if I want to calculate del f del x on this function, because I can write this as phi of x, y, h, k, this is phi of h, k, del f del x, then what should I do? Then I should go by the chain rule. So del f x, now basically I am computing del f del x at xi eta. This is, and then if I go by the chain rule, what I should do? I should first calculate del f del xi into del xi into, I should have now del f, if I comp del xi into del phi of, or del xi del x, or del phi of del x, del f del eta into del psi of del eta. Similarly for the others, h and k. Of course it doesn't mind if I for the moment even fix up my h and k, it doesn't matter. I can even forget the h and k and say h and k are just constants, and then go on. So it should be, sorry, del z by del, so if you write now del f by del h, so del f, so you have to write del f with respect to del h here, right? Basically then again then you have to write del phi by, so you have to write again here psi and eta del phi del x del phi, so you have to again come and write del f del xi, basically you with respect to xi here you have got del phi del x, so this is the chain rule, so del phi del x here is just 1, the remaining goes, and del psi del x here is just 0 because there is no x, so it becomes del phi del xi at into del phi del x which is 1. So what is happening, so del f del x at xi eta is same as del f del xi at xi eta, so now I can then write this df dt as h into del f del x plus k times del f del y at xi eta, so these are all evaluated at the point xi eta, whatever be your given xi eta does not matter, so xi is f of x plus th for some given t, so that is exactly the calculation. Now this will immediately lead us to a mean value theorem, very simple. So what I will do, take the function f t minus f 0 divided by t, this is nothing if the function f is differentiable, which I am seeing that it is differentiable, I can compute it out, is some for some c which is lying between t and 0, so any point lying between t and 0 is a fraction of t, so where theta is something lying between 1 and 0. So once this is done you can immediately write down the whole thing, so you know what is ft and you know what is f of 0, so immediately once you do it, because if you, so it will become f of x plus th y plus tk minus f of xy is equal to what is this f dash theta t, so what is f dash theta t, it is nothing but h into del f del x computed at x plus theta h t y plus theta k t plus k into del f del y, del f del y computed at x plus theta h t and y plus theta k t, where theta is between 1 and 0. Just by using the function mean value theorem for one variable, we have got the mean value theorem for two variables, mvt for, so del f del y for two variables. So here again we have calculated del f del x at x is x equal to h, instead of t I have put theta t, so instead of h t I have h of theta t, instead of k t I have theta of k of theta t, the same thing here, so you see how much the chain rules are involved and how much calculations we did, so you really need to go through these calculations once yourself to convince yourself, and with this we end the session and we come back to talk about maximum minimum of two variables in the next class.